No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this Tuesday, October 17th, 2017. I wonder how many Texans remember this. Gosh, it feels like decades ago, a formal statement in the White House Rose Garden. The speaker, you may recognize his voice, flanked by the parents of Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl.
Good afternoon, everybody. This morning, I called Bob and Janny Bergdahl and told them that after nearly 5 years in captivity, their son, Bo, is coming home.
That was May 31st, 2014. The Obama administration had secured the release of Bo Bergdahl by agreeing to the release of five Taliban prisoners being held at Guantanamo. At first, Bergdahl's homecoming was celebrated as something of a hero's return. What most Americans at the time did not know was that back in 2009, Bergdahl had deserted his post in Afghanistan before he disappeared and spent 5 years as a captive of the Taliban. Upon his release, Bergdahl was flown to Texas for what the Army described as medical and psychiatric treatment and formally charged with desertion and misbehavior before the enemy, a rare charge that's invoked when service members run away, surrender, or otherwise endanger fellow troop safety. Yesterday, Bergdahl, now 31, pleaded guilty to both charges. What happens next? Former Army Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Korn served in the Army JAG Corps and is now professor of law at South Texas College of Law, Houston. Welcome to The Standard.
Thanks for having me.
What do you see this plea as meaning? Were you surprised by it?
I was surprised that it's what we call a naked plea. Most pleas in the military are very similar to pleas in the civilian world, where the defendant pleads guilty in exchange for a plea bargain, mm-hmm. an agreement from the prosecution. The military system's actually more favorable to the defendant because the defendant makes an agreement with the commanding general who ordered the court-martial, and the commanding general makes a promise up front not to approve any sentence beyond the agreed amount, and then the court doesn't know about that. So if they sentence the defendant to more time, then he gets the limit of the agreement, and if the court sentences the defendant to less time, then he gets less time. It's very unusual to have what lawyers call a naked plea, which is a defendant who says, I'll plead guilty without the benefit of any deal. To plead guilty, on the other hand, didn't surprise me too much because I don't think there really was ever a significant issue related to whether he committed these offenses. This has never been a whodunit. This case from the beginning has been about, one, could he get a fair trial, mm-hmm. and two, what the appropriate sentence.
Well, now, let me ask you about that fair trial business, because Bergdahl has said that a fair trial would be impossible because of comments by then-presidential candidate Donald Trump. Didn't he say something along the lines of a firing squad should be used to execute Bergdahl, like that?
The candidate Trump's statements regarding Bergdahl were definitely, in my view, outrageous and out of line, particularly by someone who anticipated maybe being the commander-in-chief mm-hmm. at the time of the trial. Having said that, I think that Colonel Nance, the military judge, made the right decision when he denied the defense motion to dismiss the charges based on those statements because, as he said, and I agree with him, he believed that a military jury could be instructed and would be able to set aside those comments and not let them influence their decision. And I think he's right.
And in fact, I was going to ask, what's next? Do you have a sentencing hearing from this point, and where does that happen, and what about penalties?
Because apparently he entered a plea without the benefit of any deal, uh-huh. that he is at risk of the maximum penalty. And the maximum penalty, because of the misbehavior charge, is life in prison. Now, people need to understand that in the military there are no sentencing guidelines, there are no mandatory minimum sentences.
So the judge has a lot of discretion here.
Not a lot of discretion, absolute discretion. If I were a betting man, I think there's no question that he's going to get a dishonorable discharge, which is the worst type of discharge that can be given to a service member, and by the way, can only be given after a conviction by a general court-martial. Hmm. And I think he'll probably get some confinement, but I would say probably in the 3 to 5 year range.
Professor, military desertions happen far more frequently than perhaps a lot of people realize. Why do you think this particular case is getting all this attention?
The difference, I think, with Bo Bergdahl is the peripheral issues related to his misconduct. The fact that when he came back, he was hailed as a hero initially by President Obama, which I think everybody would agree was a political blunder. and the fact that related to his release was the swap of those prisoners.
Right.
So he's the
lightning rod. From Guantanamo Bay, yeah.
Right. He's the lightning rod that was the focal point of debates that had were much broader. Now, within the military, members of the military viewed this as a serious breach of honor that put fellow soldiers in mortal jeopardy. There's something deeper when you've got an all-volunteer army where there are acts of misconduct all the time, but this was different. This was abandoning your combat outpost. And the other piece of it is falling into the hands of an enemy that we know is so off the chart in terms of its disrespect for basic concepts of international law that it creates a strategic nightmare for the United States. And it exacerbated the sense of disloyalty and the breach of duty that was associated with his misconduct.
Jeffrey Korn is professor of law at South Texas College of Law, Houston. He's a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel serving in the Army JAG Corps. Professor, thanks so much for taking time to speak with us on the Texas Standard. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.